Everybody ready?
Yes.
All right, then I will start. I want to go to Psalm 24. Sister Heather read this recently, and I want to read Psalm 24 and verse 8. And then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 17. Praise God. I'm glad for the Word of God. As it is written, it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joint and marrow, soul and spirit, discerner, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. My word's not that. Can't do that. But God's word can. There's no man that can hide himself, no woman that can hide herself in secret places that God cannot see you. The word of God is so pinpoint, it'll find you in the midst of a billion people. And God won't struggle to look at the picture of a billion people and say, where are they? You know that Finding Waldo thing? God will find Waldo. Waldo can't hide. Don't hide from the Lord. You want him to find you. Praise God. And no matter what you're going through, you can think that nobody else knows. God knows exactly what you're going through. He knows better than you do. Amen. So always trust him. Psalm 24, verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Praise God. Let me read that one more time. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Not weak and puny. Praise the Lord. Not incapable. The Lord strong and mighty. I love it. When the enemy knocks on your door, send mighty to answer it.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Let's worship him before we're seated. Hallelujah. 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 Lord strong and mighty. Lord strong and mighty. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Presence of God's in this house. Presence of God's in this house. Hallelujah. You may be seated. It is Katha. Am I right? Did I say that right? Everyone say welcome.
Welcome.
So glad to have you here. I didn't mean to embarrass you. We're just glad to have you. That big smile, you belong right there. God bless you. So glad to have you with us today. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Have you ever had, you know, we in church life, we use words to describe things. You know, we're a little different than everybody. You may not find everybody else out there talking about the battles they're going through, but in church lingo, we'll say there's a battle going on. But we have someone who's mighty in battle. We serve one who's mighty in battle. We're going to go to David in 1 Samuel because he repeats something that we've heard over and over and over again. And sometimes it just takes a couple times for things to click, right? For me at school, I had to kind of rehearse things over and over and just go over it and then go over it again. It's kind of like some things you see, whether it's science or math, or some other subject. Sometimes it just takes mulling it over because you think you see what they're saying, and sometimes teachers aren't very good at articulating something. Not bad-mouthing teachers, but we start to see it, but it's still a distance away, so we just got to keep working at it, and we're not so quick to get it sometimes. And that was me. You know, some people say, oh, you've learned this, that, and the other. Yeah, with a lot of struggle, a lot of hard work, being willing to go over and over again till we get it. And so sometimes coming back to Scripture is like trying to go over a word problem in math. And you willingly go over it again because you want to get it, right? None of us like the feeling of, I just don't get it. I don't want to live life with this montage over me that says, I just don't get it. I wanted to get it. Doesn't mean I'm stupid, but it means I want to get it. It just means I might be ignorant or I might struggle to win. So we go over things sometimes again and again so that we might realize the point. I like it when the Lord shows up and says, I'm strong in battle. I mean, he doesn't even wait to ask for us. You know, he doesn't wait for us, rather, to ask him. He just shows up. We're losing the ball game, and we don't bat very well. And so the Lord's strong and mighty, mighty in battle. So it's specific. It didn't say he's mighty in this particular area of your life, did it? This verse is very specific. He's mighty in battle. So what he's doing is he's suggesting, since I am what I am in this, I need you to let me get in this because I'm mighty in this and you're not. Praise God. Amen? Have you ever, let's go back in time for some of you. You ever remember trying to help your little kid bat? How to hold the bat? And try to teach him how to swing the bat? You know, dad or mom's behind them, you know, and you're, hands, their hands are in your hands. They might let you try for a little bit and you hit yourself on the head or try to chop it like an axe. Because you don't know the mechanics. You don't know how to stand. You don't know how to hold the bat just right. And you don't know how to, you know, you don't know how to swing the bat. And you're trying. You're a little kid. You're trying. And then hands that are more experienced, bigger than yours, get behind your hands. Now, your hands is the one holding the bat, but there's somebody behind your hands who's a little mightier than you are. And that wiffle ball is going to go a little further than it's ever gone before. When dad demonstrates how to hit the ball. Have you ever felt like in life, I don't know how to win? How do I win this? The pitcher on the mound is really good. How do I hit the ball? Because he's really good at throwing it. The Lord's strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in the ball game. Walks up to the mound. I mean, to the batter's box. It says, just here, stand like this. Just hold that. Just that. The ball comes across the plate, hand in hand, and all of a sudden, pow. How many have ever played wiffle ball when you were a kid? Remember the sound of that cheap little white, yellow bat, rather, hitting that plastic ball? Crack, crack. And if you were good enough and swung it hard enough, even as a little 8-year-old or whatever, you could send that thing into the wind just right, and you were a happier camper if the wind was at your back, because then it carried that wiffle ball. You were like. First Samuel 17. What we need behind us is mighty and strong. Praise God. 1 Samuel 17. I want to read right to a verse of scripture here and then kind of go back, because I think sometimes I'm guilty of reading something only at a certain level and not seeing something for what it really is. I mean, if we took reality check here, we have a situation going on that's not so good. There are people not winning. And it's in God's nature to win. Have you ever been around anyone who is very competitive, they like winning? Oh, some of you just watched the Olympics, right? Whether it was the regular Summer Olympics or the Paralympics, I think what they call it, right? There are people there, and they're there with their mind on gold, right? Very competitive. You got lots of people, right, contending. If you've ever been around someone who's very competitive, you know the spirit of the individual. You know the intensity, the training, everything's involved. God is very, very, very competitive. And what I want to convey to you today is what I'm feeling from Psalm 24. Picture whatever it is that you're going through right now, if there's a battle going on. I'm not saying that there is. But picture God sort of walking into your office and offering his services to you. He sits down and says, I'm strong and I'm mighty. And I'm very mighty in battle. And it seems to me you got a battle going on. And so I'm here to offer my services to you. Maybe this sounds crazy to some of you. I'm just trying to, just hear me out here today. Because there are times when the Lord steps in, right? And this is fresh, and this is just something that we need to learn. David learned here. When he says that he's strong and he's mighty in battle, what he's saying to you is, if you let me step in, we'll win. And to God, if you look at the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you realize with God, with us it's different, but with God, it doesn't matter if he's up against nations. I'm saying with God. Yeah. Now, there is a way. Remember what Jesus said. He said, the servant is not greater than his master. It's enough that we be as our master, but we're not greater than. But we do know with Christ in us, the hope of glory, with the Holy Spirit of God in us, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So we partake of the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And it'll be enough that we manifest the same attitude, the same nature, the same outlook as our master does. Right. Praise God. Amen? Yes. Who says, I'm walking up to that batter's box because my intention is winning the ball game and knocking this out of the park. Because I'm mighty. Right. Hallelujah. Look, don't you watch baseball enough to see what happens when they bring in the big gun to the plate? The entire opposing team, all of a sudden, there's all sorts of field adjustments and all sorts of hand signals going on because what? Mighty just walked up to the mound. The guy that can clean up the bases, the guy you send in when it's the ninth inning, right? And there's two outs, there's two strikes, bases are loaded. Any, especially an infield hit, will win the ball game for him. They send that guy. Who walks out there? Because his persona, his numbers, his stats say, strong and mighty. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Mighty in a ball game. I mean, he doesn't have to do what the football players do. All those guys need to deflate themselves. They're awfully silly. Catch a football game. You were paid to catch that football. Anyways, that was a side note. But when you know what you know and you are who you are, all you got to do is just grab that bat and walk up to the batter's box. Walk up to that plate. All you got to do is just be present. And all of a sudden, the entire opposing team starts squirming, whether they go out, they move the outfield outer, or they bring some people in. They do everything because they realize the mighty bat is here. Praise God. How many ball games have you ever seen won when they switched out with one strike, right? The last couple of strikes, and out of the ballpark, ball game over. Over and over again, we've seen it. Nail biter for 9 innings. But then, strong and mighty. And then all of a sudden inside, there's that, all right, things are going to get good right about now. But in the expectation, the crowds all stand. Why? Because they believe in and they're confident in what's at the plate. Oh, would to God when we come to church, when we go to the prayer room and the Lord reminds us, mighty is here, that we would stand and start doing this. That's what they do. Do you ever watch a ball game? That's what they do. When that guy walks to the plate, all of a sudden everybody's ready to win. He can do that in the presence of those who are ready to fail and quit. All you got to do is send mighty. Mighty changes the atmosphere. And it doesn't matter what's around him. And that's what we're going to read here for a moment. See, when you bear the nature of God, you tune certain things out and tune other things in. Because there's a cause. And what the Lord is saying, when he announces himself as mighty, there's a cause. 1 Samuel 17, verse 50. That was my long get to 1 Samuel 17. But God's good. You know, we don't have to be complicated with the word of God. I would rather, and I'm not opposed to a nice, cute Bible sermon and anything like that. Any preacher can make one of those up. But and I'm not here to say there's anything wrong with it. But I am here to say that it's better it's better to allow yourself to be ministered to than entertained. I don't want to leave this place today and say, well, I went to church today. I'd rather say I had church today. I'd rather say, man, we had a good old shouting time, praising God time, worshiping God time. Man, you ought to have been there. We had Giants fall, baseball games won. And just let them stand there and go, what? We were in the presence of mighty. I went there feeling like a whooped puppy. Hallelujah. But then something stepped into the place where we were worshiping. Then when I went in and I felt weak, there was someone there to say, but I'm strong, and I'm on your team. Oh, man, go back to childhood for a little bit, and you feel like you're being whooped up because the other team just has the advantage, but then all of a sudden, a couple key players show up out of the blue. Praise God, something changes and shifts things in your favor. That's the Lord. He's okay when the odds are stacked against him. He likes it. You may not like it. He has no problem with it. Because that doesn't change him being strong and mighty in battle. The heat of the battle, the size of the battle, the magnitude of the battle doesn't change his title. Oh, hallelujah. It might scare us to death. It doesn't change the title of God. He's still the everlasting Father. He's still the Prince of Peace, even if the world's a mess and yours is too. Glory. This is what we have when we have, I still haven't read the verse. Give me 1 second. Man, I went to church and I took the preacher 40 minutes to read the verse. This is what we get when we are born of God. And there's only one way to be born of God. There's only one way to become a participant in this book. To become a part of the family of God. Only one way. There's not. We're not here to be brutal. We're not here to be hateful. All you got to do is open your eyes just a little bit and read the Word of God. Humble yourself and say, Lord, show me the way. And you'll discover that there's one way. Being born of God does not mean you've chosen a certain religion. Doesn't mean you've chosen a certain sect of Christianity to believe in. Being born of God means he has changed you from a creature fit for hell to a creature bound for heaven. Because he's strong and he's mighty. And he has filled you with his might and his power and his strength, because it's going to take that to get us from here to there. Praise the Lord. You know how much power it takes to send astronauts from the earth just to orbit? And then from there to the moon, it takes a lot of power, a lot of money to get them to go up. But we've already bypassed that. We're filled with the Spirit of God. He don't need a rocket. He don't need a big thing, a big tank of fuel to get us to heaven. Attached to our back and say, now you're going. We've got the Spirit of the living God who fills all things, who's taking us there. We've got the power to go from our impossible weak life to everlasting life. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we serve the one who said, I'm strong and I'm mighty. Don't you ever be afraid of, will I ever make it? You're going to make it. If you walk with God, you're going to make it. If you serve God, you're going to make it. Because behind you, holding your hands in that bat, amen, is the one mighty in battle. Oh, please hear me this afternoon. God is saying, I'm mighty in battle. Are you going through something? Please get me in on it. Right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do things the Lord's way. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. I'll read that one more time because I always like to glorify God in this. And how God simply left this in the scripture for us because he wanted to amplify the fact that he was strong and mighty. I mean, think about this today. Think about, try to put away the fact that you've heard this story over and over and over again. Try to divorce yourself for a moment from a Sunday school look at it. and tried to realize that this was a real life circumstance. There was a real battle going on. There were real soldiers fighting and killing each other. There was an enemy trying to prevail over the people of God. And the people of God at this moment prior to David coming onto the scene sent by God, they were losing. It was the bottom of the ninth inning, two outs, two strikes. They were not prevailing. They were not going forward. They were not winning. God has a problem when his team is not winning. I'm not saying he's going to walk into the church house and rip everybody's heads off, grab that helmet and throw it against a locker, deflate a basketball, or throw a baseball at one of the guy's heads. I'm not saying he's going to walk into his church and deal with his people that way. But he will step in and proclaim for himself so that maybe we'll become aware that he's strong and he is mighty. And then he gets specific and says, I'm mighty in battle. Right. I'm mighty in battle. Right where you need me to be mighty, I'm mighty. So we have to learn something, and we're going to backtrack to what David says here, and I'm almost through, but I want you to maybe be helped by this afternoon. I don't know where anybody is. I'm not a soothsayer, like I said the other night. God knows exactly where you are. That's why at the beginning of this message, I said to you that it's the word of God that will find you. No one of us are hidden, no matter how desperate your life may be, no matter how many struggles there may be, challenges, if that's what the battle is, it's just a challenge to go forward. It doesn't matter. No matter what you're harboring on the inside that you don't want anybody else to know about, God is saying, I know about it. And I'm trying to convey how I feel. It's almost as if the Lord himself would walk through the building and step me aside and walk into this podium and look straight in the eyes of some of you where you would know he knows. And he says to you, I am mighty in battle. Praise God. He is that personal. The Baptists call him a personal savior. He's more personal than the Baptist movement could ever possibly imagine. Or any other Christian movement could ever possibly. He's more personal than you realize. He wants to be more personal than you realize. We need to realize the battle is the Lord's. And that's why we can prevail no matter what's in our hands, no matter how insignificant it looks. Praise God. This is why we read 1 Samuel 17 and verse 50, that God might be magnified. A youth with a sling and a stone in and of itself cannot, would not defeat a soldier who is armored like a tank, who caused hundreds of other soldiers to flee from him, who tormented the children of God for 40 days and nights, insomuch that whenever he walked onto the battlefield, they all ran and fled. But David comes in a different spirit. And this is the key here to winning and prevailing. God wants us to prevail. He wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to win. If you ever wanted to win over a particular area of your life, God wants you to win even more. Praise God. But we got to get a hold of what David had, where David did not reverence the situation. He did not absorb what was going on to the point where it made him feel like this is impossible. He just stayed in that spirit of power and love and a sound mind. He stayed with the knowledge that I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded. We need to become persuaded. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That he is able. We need to be persuaded that he is able, that the battle is the Lord's. Amen. That no matter what my involvement in, God is going to see us through. This has to be our nature. Or we're never going to win anything. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God, right, hath not given us the spirit of fear,
but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? He was saying that to another preacher that he helped raise and nurture into the ministry, who is now pastoring and dealing with people in a big way, a bigger way even than just one single local assembly. Had a lot on his plate, but he was reminding him, you can do this. You can endure affliction. You can go through stuff with God because he's strong and because he's mighty and because he specializes in battles. Hallelujah. I may not specialize in any battle fighting, but my God, but my God, but my God, who shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, even if my need is a little mite. Some ability to prevail over this. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. See, that's the way God likes to do it. He like, I could just see, if I could just put God in the form of a man for a moment and have him put his foot up on Goliath's dead body, and he hold up the sling and the stone and mock the Philistines, facing the Philistine army and going, a sling, pull the stone out of his forehead and go, ah. You say, God, yeah. Yeah, look, he loves to win. He loves to prevail. He loves to fight and win. And when things rise up against, he rises up against. If I could just get it inside your soul today. I could see him mocking the Philistines. See, all it took to take this big mouth down was this. Where's his big mouth now? See, we don't see that side of things. We just see the storyline. David whacks his head off, goes to Jerusalem. I don't have stomach for what he did. Totally different time frame, thousands of years ago. Would have never done it myself. But that's battle. That was that time frame. Guess he had fun going through Jerusalem with that giant's head in his hand and just saying, woo, look what God has done. I'm just glad to say, whoop, we paid a bill. Praise the Lord. Talk about the spiritual bill collector, Goliath. No, some things in life are a little deeper than that, right? Yeah. But I can see the nature of God prevailing over this because he doesn't want things to prevail over us. We should not be tormented day and night over things or by things. You understand? And so for whatever this is worth, it doesn't matter if it's an addiction. It doesn't matter if it's a thought process. It doesn't matter if there's something in life that you're just not good at doing. It doesn't matter if your own nature's standing in your way. The Lord is saying, I'm strong. I'm mighty in battle. Praise God. Let me do my job. And he'll be here. He'll walk right into a church service, look you in the eye, and say, I want to remind you, if you're saying I'm your God, your God's mighty. Amen. So stop living puny and stop living wimpily and stop crumbling under the pressures of life. You have a God that can crumble the pressures. Amen. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So please understand the reality of this moment. I'm not too loud, am I? I feel like I'm yelling. Praise God. I'm all right? Okay. I mean, I'm not. I can get this way anyway. I'm just excited about the word, but I'm not angry at anybody. Thank you. I got approval. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. But realistically, look what's happened. When David's walking on the scene, he doesn't know what he's going into, and oftentimes we don't. But this is the beauty of being led by the Spirit of God and being at least skilled in prayer, skilled in faith, nourished up in the things pertaining to God. This is what, remember, Pastor used to call this church a little David. Remember? Yes? Yes. Why? Because we learned how to dedicate ourselves to God. We learned how to love God, trust God. We learned how to endure. We fought our lions. We fought our bears. We've learned that we have something that's strong and mighty in us. Right? When you are converted, you learn. That's what this take my yoke upon you and learn of me is about. It's not just about learning Bible verses.
It's about living them, experiencing them, experiencing your God who's more than a Bible verse. Praise God. He's a spirit. Amen. God is spirit. And he's now your God, and you're one with him. So fighting your little lions and bears and little things in life are stepping stones that God uses in our lives to conquer other things so that when we approach something that maybe, I mean, I don't know. For me, I can't really say that Goliath's any bigger than a lion or a bear. I would think the lion and the bear, to me, is a little scarier than Goliath. Goliath's a human being. He's just a little bigger one. But a bear and a lion, they walk on four legs. And they're big, and they weigh hundreds of pounds, and they like tear things to pieces. I'd be more terrified of the lion and the bear. And this is why when David is talking to Saul, and David's inquiring in the camp, what's going on? Because he shows up. When you're anointed and you've learned how to just yield your life to God and trust God and go through the things God takes you through, when you enter into a battle, something beside your nature kicks in. And when Goliath walks out onto the field while David's in the camp handing cheese and bread to his brothers and saying, hey, dudes, what's up? When Goliath begins to talk, the scripture specifically says, and David heard him. He repeated the same words, and David heard them. What was God? Every word of God is written specifically so God can send a point out to you to say there's a difference when fear hears things and faith hears things. Faith hears it and says, is that so? I'll see about that. Right? Rips the coat off, slams it down, pulls the tie off, and says, come on, let's go right now. That's what faith does. Fear goes, Fear wants to run you away. Faith says, give me your sword. Where is he at? What? And then when David realizes what's been going on, then all of a sudden he realizes the people of God have been reproached because now he's leaning on the experience he has had with strong and mighty. So what's kicking in now is, I know what the Lord can do. See, that's why we gather around. That's why we pray for people when life beats you all to pieces and you come into the church. The warriors stand up and say, come on, let's pray. Because we know we're kicking into the Lord. Strong, mighty God can do something about this. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's very specific. Again, David's concentration now is not on everybody else. Now his all of a sudden he realizes why he's there. He's there to win the ball game. He's the power hitter in the ninth inning with two outs. He realizes there's a game to win, and the odds now are stacked. It's 5-4. They're winning, and he realizes in the anointing, he realizes by the Holy Ghost, I know God can bring that big mouth down. And at that stage, he already saw him down. And it was already saying, I will fight him. And that's why they brought him to King Saul, because he would say, I'll fight him. What's King Saul going to give to the guy that defeats him? Not because he was egotistical or wanted stuff. He was just, what? Because he knew it was done. Right. I'm ending on this. He knew Goliath was going to die that day by his hand, but by the Spirit of God. The battle was the Lord, because he knew who was strong in battle. He knew who was mighty in battle. He knew through God, this guy is going to die today. He knew he was going to be married before the night's over. He knew his house was going to be free in Israel. He knew the reward was going to be his because he knew his mighty God. Let's stand, and I'll try to calm down here and end this thing. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't care how messed up America is. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in battle. Let them rise up with abortion. Let them rise up with all their stupid nonsense and act like they're going to shut the voice of the church down. Ha! Huh. We just want you to do one thing, bub. Listen to the sound of our sling. Do that Jesus thing. Look at this. It's all it's going to take. He went down with this big mouth, with all the armor, a big sword, armor bearer. God doesn't need a lot to win. You do. And that's why we try to figure things out ourselves. How am I going to win? Stop thinking that way and start professing. Remember, confess. Skip the bad doctrine teaching that if you confess, I'm saved and all that. But use the scripture. Confess with your mouth. Speak within your heart. Speak the word of faith instead of fear. I will fight him, King Saul. What's the first word out of fear? You're not able. David said, all right, bub. I fought a lion, and I went after a bear when they took one of my father's sheep, and I slew both of them. And he didn't put Goliath at a higher level than the lion and the bear. He put him on the same level. Lion, bear, big mouth. The Lord will deliver him into my hands. He's the same as the lion. He's the same. I knew I could not have done that had not the Lord been on my side. I would have been torn to pieces by the lion. I would have been torn to pieces by that bear. But I knew I prevailed over the both of them by the Spirit of the living God. And this guy will be the same. Let's love him. Come on, love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're going to sing a quick hymn here in a moment. But what was the one of the last words that Goliath heard out of the mouth of David? The battle is the Lord's. Just wanted you to know that before you die. And before I take your head and let the fowls eat your body. That's cruel. I mean, that's real. We make it a Bible story 3,000 years later, but that's rough stuff. Any of us being there, if God would transport us back in time, we'd be like, nah, don't want to see it. I'll go back to Bethlehem because those reality stuff, but those are real life battles. But we glean from them so that we know what to do today, so that the same faith, same anointing, same mindset, same attitude will be in us. Praise God. Stop being beat down by everything. Don't be ridiculous. Don't shame your master. Just walk up to your problem and say, the Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in battle. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe that today? If you do, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hey, look, sometimes life comes at us unexpectedly, right? And it's like the prophet and his servant, right? The enemy wanted that prophet because God kept using the prophet to discover the plan of the enemy, the Syrians. And every time God would send the prophet, give the prophet a word, and he would send it to the king and say, don't do this because they're going to do this. And the Syrians were like, what is going on? How do they know? And a little Israelite handmaid said, I could tell you how they know. Because the battle is the Lord's. You numbskull. There's a prophet in Israel. And God speaks to his people. And that's why you can't overcome them.
So they said, well, in their natural thinking, we'll just get the prophet and we'll defeat the Lord. So they surround. So old Gehazi says, well, I need some fresh air. Walks outside, and all of a sudden there's an army surrounding their house all the way around. Army of the Syrians, they're completely surrounded. So he walks in, I could see his face white as a ghost. Sits down and says, we're surrounded. And old Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see what I see. Kicks back on his rocking chair, puts his feet up on the table. It says, go back outside. How do you think he came back into the house? Praise God. Not white as a ghost, but I guarantee he came back saying, when I think on the goodness of Jesus. I went out there and I saw another army. And it was surrounding that army. Praise God. The battle is the Lord's. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing that chorus so I'm telling the truth in quitting. Preachers usually end like 10 times, so just don't ever believe them the first time. But here, see, this is where we can become detached, though, from a nice Bible sermon. I'm not here to try to excite you. I'm here to try to help you remember the reality of the word. They went through this. It was real. They walked out there, and they saw soldiers on horses with swords and spears, arrows. Those two were minced meat had it not been for the Lord who was on their side. Because then the army of God, the host, the heavenly host, surrounded that army. And that's when we know. That's when we go through stuff, because we're going to go through stuff. But we don't just need to go through stuff. We need to go through stuff to the degree where we see the other stuff. I want to see that big mouth fall. I want to see that other army surrounding that army. So I can appreciate that Michael W. Smith song, right? A little bit more. When I'm surrounded by you. Because that's what I need to know. I need to know that the Lord is on my side. Whom shall I fear? Amen. What can man do unto me when the battle is the Lord and it's strong in his hand? He's strong in battle. He's mighty in battle. He's asking you, just let me go at him. Let me fight for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. When I think on the goodness of Jesus, has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Oh, when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, when my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Why do you think it was so glorious when Jesus was in the days of his flesh healing people, setting captives free, displaying the might of God? It's not always displayed in the way you think. A giant comes down, an army gets subdued, God turns an army on themselves for Gideon. Sometimes it's just healing.
peace of mind. Circumstances in your life that are all messed up, but the Lord steps in and says, peace be still. That's might. Dig up anybody he healed in the first century and ask them if the might of God did not visit their house that day. They will say, oh, yes. The scripture says the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And boy, was he mighty that day for me. He gave me my legs back. He gave me my sight back. He caused me to hear and speak. Praise God. That's mighty. Don't ever underestimate the power of God. Just let him be this for you. One more time. Bow your head in prayer. Hallelujah. We sing a song here that says, let Jesus fix it for you. Is there a prayer inside of your soul that says, Lord, I want you to fight for me. I want you to be strong in my life. I want that might of God. I want that Isaiah 9:6, he's the mighty God, to be in my life. Hallelujah. If that's your prayer today, he's saying, oh, yes, I was waiting for you to ask. Praise God. Lord, I'm praying today that everyone here that has enjoyed the service for the last hour and a half will be blessed of God. I pray that you would display, God, the might and power of God in everyone's life that's here. Would you put your hand on him? Would you heal them? Praise God. Would you begin something in their life right now? Hallelujah. And if you believe that, would you shout out in Jesus' name? Would you lift up your hands to heaven one more time? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Come in, O King of Glory. Hallelujah. Lift up your head, O ye gates. And the King of Glory shall come in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Strong and mighty shall come in. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. You have a good time today?
Yes.
Do you believe God today?
Yes.
Please leave this place persuaded. Don't walk back out there and take another punch and go running. Praise God. You'll go out there and next time that life, whatever it is, deal with it in Jesus' name. Deal with it with the might of God. Amen. And if it's you, then stop being you and let Jesus be more of himself in your life. You don't have life long enough to continue to live stupid. You just got to grow up. Let yourself become a child of God. Do things God's way, and you'll solve a lot of problems and a lot of headaches. You really will. All you got to do is listen. Pastors told this to people for decades, and people left and right, many of them, would not listen. And you have this problem and that problem and that problem. Just listen to God. Just let him show up. God bless you. Hallelujah.